Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I lived to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Well, greetings and welcome to Talk Straight. It's your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for each and every one of you who join us tonight, who have kept up with us. We're happy to be able to entertain you on this July 6, 2021. Yes, indeed. Time has moved on. July 6, 2021. It's open mic night tonight, simply. Tell me something good. It's open mic night. I want to thank all of our loyal listeners who have kept up with us over the years, and particularly through the beginning of this year. You know, and if you've been following us for any period of time, you know that when it's open mic night, we suspend with our basic format. And we don't have necessarily a host-generated topic, but rather we open the floor to your dialogue so that we can communicate with one another. So that's what we're doing right now. It's open mic night. Feel free to give us a call here. I want to ask my Facebook friends to bear with me. We had a little technical glitch here, and we're trying to get that up and going. But nonetheless, we're on the podcast platform right now, and we're working there. And so you all can just go ahead and join us there, and we'll be happy to entertain your questions and comments there. Hopefully we can get Facebook up going here. 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call in to the studio right now. The phone lines are open, 657-383-0944. Again, we're grateful for everyone that follows us there. And as I speak, we'll continue to work to get our Facebook group connected with us here. But it's your topic, anything. It's your topic. It's up to you. It's your thing. We welcome you to come in and tell us what it is that is on your mind today. We'll be happy to entertain that. Any current events that are going on around the nation that you want to try to tackle. Now, you probably know, if you've been following me for a while, that I tend not to get caught up in a lot of things that are just surely controversial. And what I mean by controversial, they just stir up frustration and friction. If it's something we can talk about and we can have substantive conversation and hopefully we can see how it can make a difference in someone's life, that's great. That's great. I think it's worthwhile talking. But just for the mere sake of arguing and taking a stance or a position against something, that's not something that I think is going to be very helpful to us. So I, as a host, tend to avoid those type of confrontational type of things. I don't know that that's going to serve anyone well at all. And what I'm interested in, as you heard, that was our initial advertisement for the show. And we began this with a focus on helping at-risk males, right? African-American males, and that's what we continue to do. We've been able to expand our dialogue, though, further with offering some ideas about some good things that are going on, right? And even discussing some things that, some opportunities. You know, particularly this year, we began with a focus on identifying some opportunities. You understand what I'm saying? That we all can engage ourselves in, and that we can look at sharing and providing for young people all across America, particularly our target area, which is urban America, see? And so with that being said, I think our Facebook group is with us now, 657-383-0944. If you're following us on Facebook Live, come on, get in. Jump in, get in where you fit in. I think we're up and running now. Yes, we were just speaking of the fact that we our focus has been since 2016 on addressing challenges, social ills and challenges for a specific subgroup or population, that being at-risk African-American males. And, of course, if anyone has to ask why that group, then I would argue that you're probably not tuned in to the reality of what's going on in urban American streets and who it is that is greatly at risk. Yes, we're seeing more and more young ladies, females, likewise being at risk. However, for some time, for decades now, young males have slipped away from good, sound, wholesome instruction, example, And again, let me emphasize, I don't mean to suggest that everybody is facing that. That's certainly not my intention. I am speaking, however, to that population, that group that is. And I would have nothing to talk about if it didn't exist. See what I mean? So, but it's open mic. 657-383-0944. That's the number you can call. Go and give me a holler. Shout at me. Give me a holler here, and we'll be happy to entertain your questions and comments. Hopefully our co-host, will be able to join us here shortly, Pastor Ricky Waller, who has been there with us. He works in ministry and on a daily basis, and most of the times he's out busy, but he takes the time to join us here on the podcast, and we're grateful for that. He's been kind enough to sit in for me when we were unable to be present for a show and to keep the conversation and the dialogue going. So I'm ever grateful for his participation, his place here. Callers from Chicago, from Peoria, Illinois, from Jacksonville, Florida. We had callers from New Orleans. We had callers from St. Louis, Missouri, from Detroit. And so in various places. We previously callers from Alabama, from various areas. So, but it's all over. It's all over. From Canada. I've heard from people from New York and Canada. We invite you to come on now. Come on now. Get in. Where you sit in? It's open mic night. 657-383-0944. Open mic night. Excuse me. What does that mean? That means that as host, I yield the floor to you to share your ideas. As I said, any current events, of course, you know, we've heard of the sad case down in Florida where the body count is increased, as I understand. And we're certainly praying for all those people who were affected by that negatively. That's a terrible thing. Unfortunately, we've had tragedy in other parts of the country. We just finished wrapping up the 4th of July, America's birthday, you know, official birthday. And so a lot going on. But we got our friend out of Jacksonville, Florida, who has joined us tonight. Welcome there, Mama D. I believe they call you Mama D, too, though.
No. Hey, how's everything?
What do we call you? 3072, what we call you? What
3072, man. I don't have 8112 trying to come get me.
Don't say it like that. I know that's right. Mm-hmm. You ain't single come. Okay. Well, open mic. What's on your mind?
Yeah.
What's going on? What's happening your way? What's happening down there?
Not much. We have the threat of bad weather here, so we're watching out for a hurricane. Outside of that, you know, it's just every day, like you said, we just had the 4th and all the fireworks and shootings
right. And
you name it. So, yeah, I think that's just been the country.
So now this is another tornado. It's tornado season down that way on the Gulf Coast. And has it come already, or are you guys still looking for it? And will it hit your way?
We're in the window. For watch. I think from today for the next couple of days, actually.
Wow.
So
okay.
It rained earlier really hard and. Now it's calm again, mm-hmm. And so who knows, you know.
Yeah.
But we've been getting rain pretty much all week there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think that rain has been moving around the country a little bit because we got a few days here. Well, all last week it was pretty rainy, but it dried up a bit this last few days. So. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us here tonight. And again, it's open mic. We suspend with any particular topic or monologue so that we can open the floor. You've been following us for a while. Is there something in particular perhaps we have the freedom to, or I should say you have the freedom to to elaborate on. Some, you know, great conversation. I really have been able to learn quite a few things from our dialogue with various people. You know, some people are a little bit more vocal and verbose than others, but we have learned a great deal there. Anything in particular that on your end there?
Well, you were just mentioned about the tragedy there with the Sunnyside, the community, the building that collapsed.
Right.
It's just very sad, but at the same time, funny how things always come out in the wash. I mean, for years it's been said to, you know, the building has been, or the area around there has been having some infrastructure problems. And, lots of money is involved, you know, things get kind of pushed under the table and flipped and gotten away with there. It's just sad that it took this for it all to come out in the wash. All those lives been lost now, you know. I just want to see, is anybody going to be held, you know, responsible or accountable for what's taking place?
Yeah, that's the truth. You know, the few stories I've read was that there was some warning, you know what I mean? And I even understand they closed another building recently because
I heard demolition possibly too for the whatever that building is around it too, because again it had been sinking, that building and some other parts in the area there. So
Well, I tell you, at the end of the day, we all need to, you know, to be aware and to do the best we can to try to make life the happiest and the most prosperous that we can. So.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to what we're talking about, you know, the show, being just accountable, doing the right things, and being worthy even. Just say, for instance, whoever this construction company was, I don't know who, or whoever built the thing, or whoever had to oversee giving them the permits, or whoever does the yearly, you know, I don't even get it why, you know, things are just a lackadaisical now here in 2021.
Right. Yeah. Well,
people want
true.
The businesses, and they want to make money. But yet, at the same time, you know, you don't want to do the work, and
you get lives at stake. You can't play around with that, can you? Well, you shouldn't anyway.
No. I mean, in any business at all, period. Too. I mean, it don't have to be something as serious as that, even though that is serious. I mean, in anything, it's just funny how just looking around now, something as simple as a lawn. Business, you know. I was talking to one of my neighbors. She was saying how this man had a so-called company and cut her grass, and when she come out there, you know, you didn't clean up behind yourself or nothing, but yet still you want to sign me on for a contract for the summer. Yeah, and you are to call back, you know. She's like trying to talk to him, and he, you know, well, that wasn't a part of the, you know, just, I don't know, people, I don't know what they want or what they expect nowadays.
Yeah,
like, everybody wants something for nothing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because people tend to assume, 72, that everybody thinks the same way and holds the same value. And it's not till you start really interacting with people that you really understand how different a great many people are. And we talked about this over the years about the nature of laws or regulations and restrictions, right? And they're geared toward general guide for everybody, so that, you know what I mean? Since everybody has to share the same space, they're geared toward at least having some sort of construct keep everybody reasonably in, you know, in respect to other boundaries and things of that nature. Yeah, that's something.
That's amazing.
I have a tendency to pick up a few articles and what have you, just to try to stay abreast, you know, on current events and things of that nature. And it seems like more cities are getting to a point where people are getting back to some normalcy after the COVID closures and things of that nature. I know for me and my business in the insurance industry, really hard to try to reach our clientele. A lot of people ran to for quotes and things of that nature, but it's a very different thing when you're trying to build your presence there. So how things there in Florida, I know Florida is one of those states that opened up early, didn't they? They were one of the first ones to be full throttle, weren't they? Well, there's still people who are somewhat hesitant, because I understand there's reports of another strain, another strand coming out, and I've even heard some talk about the need to go back to everybody wearing masks again because of this new strand. I'm not about all that though, but one of the things I saw is 3072, the trust in science as a whole seems to have been shaped behind all this. And even the trust in faith or faith-based institutions seems to have been challenged as well for a lot of people. Right. That's what I'm hearing. Anecdotally, that's what I'm hearing. What's your thought on that?
I mean, I can do nothing but agree, because I see the same thing, that people are just not trusting. But and I hate to open this can of worms up, but I think it all stemmed from, 2017 election of former president.
I said yes. I follow you.
With that, a lot of people were just shaken up with the presidency for those 4 years, and I think it just opened up a lot of sour, untrustful things since the whole COVID and everything else. So, I mean, and I understand people's concerns, but we got to start somewhere trying to, you know, repair and heal whatever wounds are there. From all of that. It's just trying to get back to, you know, where it was, or better, possibly, I think.
Right. I was just going to say that it's two sides to it, because I think you're right. Nobody really thought Republicans or Democrats early on in the 2015 cycle when they were campaigning that President Trump would win the office or to win the election.
Right.
And so it kind of threw a lot of people for a loop, right? But when you dig deeper behind and you look at not the individual but the policies and what have you, a lot of his policies in his term as president diverted from a lot of things that traditional Republicans and Democrats did. I think that's one of the reasons it was. Both of them had a tendency to rely very heavily on whatever advice CDC and scientists and experts.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But this president, this administration, I'm going to say, was driven more out of the idea we can use our common sense, basically. And we don't necessarily have to go with what the norm or the standard has been for a long time. So, yes, there were a lot of things. But now, as an observer myself, I was concerned personally about how, because I used to quote the CDC a lot of times, and I still do reference them on a lot of issues, but I was concerned about how flip-flopped and how Dr. Fauci and others, in my view, politicized the pandemic and the concerns about it. You understand what I'm saying? Son was one of those who were victimized because he didn't get to walk across the stage for his graduation, because, you know, schools were shut down. We had extensive conversations about that, how we are all, when he's a So we're all for being healthy and, you know, and allowing science to guide us as we have for a long time. What were you going to say?
Yeah. I was just going to say, back to what you were saying about them relying, you know, thinking we should just use common sense. Well, that's kind of hard to do when, you know, the thing was new and nobody knew what was common or uncommon with it, because, again, this was a new strain of virus out that was, you know, killing people. But with that being said, I think, yeah, a lot of people suffered behind COVID, period. And I think, you know, with something that we don't know anything about, you cannot just sit back and underestimate what it can or what it can't do. You
well,
should rely
true.
On factual, sound data. Yeah, so.
Sure. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. I personally asked the question, my goodness, where did it come from? You know what I mean? And how
mm-hmm.
did it hit here? And all of a sudden, bam, out of nowhere. You know, that was one of the things. And I think if people would have just shot straight and would have given us what it was, it would have been a little bit different. We got a caller from 612, last four digits, 6103. Let me welcome you to Talk Straight. It's open mic night, caller. That means you can, if there's something you'd like to speak about, we will try to hold an intelligent conversation along those lines. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. 6103.
Yes, good evening, sir. How are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
I'm great. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you for calling. Question or comment or some topic you'd like to we have a caller from Jacksonville, Florida joining us right now. And the floor is open, so we're having this generalized discussion.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, coming off that last election, I was just sort of like personally and politically, I'm an independent, so I was sort of like in the middle of the thing and trying to hear both sides out. And now it seems like after the fact that everything's done and the smoke has been cleared, it's kind of amazing how most of the stuff that the media had put out, say, against Trump and Republicans, almost everything they said came out to be false. And most of the stuff that conservatives warned that Democrats would want to do politically is, in fact, true, and at the time people dismissed it as just empty political rhetoric. I'm just wondering
okay.
what your thoughts are as far as, like, you know, how that went. And then also, last thing is with the media's coverage of the president. It's amazing
yeah.
how the last president, they were ultra, like, on attack mode, trying to hold him accountable, which I'm good with. I'm cool with that. I respect it if you want to do that. But it's just amazing how now all of a sudden they could care less about holding the president accountable. And it's like they're almost, like, defending Biden from any
mm-hmm.
criticism, which is kind of weird. But what do you think, sir?
Yeah, I've always said, because, you know, I've been around, and in my lifetime I've seen about 10 presidents. And I've been African-American, black, Negro, color, whichever you want to fly, all of my life, right? And I've seen the plight of black folk across America. I've seen the engagement. And I've always said it doesn't matter what political party you're part of. What I'm interested in seeing is in examining your policies that come from administration, right? And there's no secret. I've seen this on here that Donald Trump, as president, had some things that I believe still have potential to be very helpful, particularly to African-Americans who want to maintain business, be self-reliant and independent. A lot of his policies were pro-black, and in that regard, bringing resources from overseas. You know, let's compare it to former President Bush. On his term, and then when President Obama came in, what we saw was a lot of money going into wars overseas and things of that nature. There were a lot of people who felt like, man, we should spend more of that on helping individuals in America grow and develop. So, and I recognize that there are two major parties, and then there are people in between the two major parties. All I would encourage people not to allow politics, you understand what I'm saying, to divide us or to put us in a situation where we don't think for ourselves. That's my thing. And I hear what you're saying, because I'm reading new reports now that are just coming out about things that were said early on, right? Now we're getting it that President Trump is gone and President Biden is there. time will tell how well he responds to it. So, but yeah, that's and I think the caller in Jacksonville was just saying that there were a lot of things unexpected, right? Mainly, it was unexpected that a non-politician would win the presidency as he did. But, you know, I guess history is going to tell that story in full over time. So, we got Pastor Waller joining us here. It's open mic, Pastor, and we got our call
but
in.
But say that, Pastor Waller, Pastor Waller.
Well, hey, what's going on? How you doing there?
We are good in the neighborhood.
Yeah, that's a good thing to hear that. That's right.
So, Pastor, we were just generally speaking, it's open mic, we were just generally speaking about President Trump, some of his policies, and I guess kind of comparing it to the current president, President Biden, you know, time has to tell, my friend, 6-12, time will have to tell, really, where things will end up, you know, at the end of a four-year cycle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a more. You talking to me? You talking to someone else?
I was talking to the caller from Minneapolis, 6301. I don't know if he'll hear me or not. Can you hear me, caller? But I'm coming right back to you, Pastor.
Yeah, I can hear you. I thought Pastor was going to say someone didn't want to welcome.
Okay, all right. Well, Pastor, he's yielding the floor to you. Pastor Waller, he's yielding the floor to you, sir.
No, go ahead. I'm going to be listening to him. Go ahead. He's all right. Let him go and talk.
Okay. That, Pastor Waller is our co-host, caller, so he likely would try to yield the floor and give everyone else an opportunity to kind of share that. But, no, I was just saying to you that I take your point, and I think that's a reasonable dialogue and discussion to have in terms of looking at it, because we all live through it, right? And it had some effect on all of it. Someone who is pro-business and a business owner, I really do appreciate the opportunities, particularly for minorities and African Americans to be able to take advantage of. And I would hope that those policies don't go anytime soon. That's from a personal standpoint, but different people have different viewpoints of it. Now, let me get your feedback to that.
No, that's a good point. And I would also add, I kind of find it interesting how, you know, in this time where we see, you know, cancel culture and, you know, people being silenced or people being criticized or having certain viewpoints, I find it interesting how it seems to always go in one direction, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see a lot of people coming from the right that are engaging in trying to silence their opposition, where it seems like politically the left, which seems to be in everything, by the way, they seem to be in all forms of media, whether it's pop culture, sports, news. They're all in the education system, especially in the university level. It's pretty crazy. And it's like, and of course online, I mean, they basically control Twitter and Facebook. And it's like all these avenues that they have almost complete control over, they are consistently trying to silence their political opposition, which to me is like one of the most un-American things you can do, because part of being an American is the concept of the whole freedom of speech, where even people you disagree with or who are on the complete opposite end of you, you still respect their right to, you know, publicly express their views, because it's just a fundamental American, you know, belief. And yet on their side, it seems like, you know, they're more interested in silencing. And it almost makes me think that they don't really want to have the argument. Like, they don't want to actually have that, you know, policy analysis where you look at their policy versus the other side and you weigh it out. It seems to me like they're more concerned with eliminating them and silencing them so there is no discussion. And anyone who dares challenges what they say, they want to just eliminate you. And that, to me, is a sign of weakness. You know what I'm saying? Because that lets me know they know their ideas are not good. Because if their ideas were legitimately solid and can hold up under scrutiny, then they'd be open to the debate, because it would make their ideas look great. But it seems to me like they can only operate in a vacuum where there's no competition. Because, like, the Internet,
you know,
this is my last point, I don't want to go on and on, but I noticed that in 2016, when the Internet was way more open and free, all of a sudden, they weren't able to control the narrative the way they wanted to, because people tuned out the mainstream media and they're more online. And then when they realized that, they're like, okay, in order for us to get this narrative back on our side, we got to take control of the Internet and control what people see and hear. And that seems to be how they were able to kind of flip it in 20, but let me know what you think.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that as a former candidate for political office myself, I had the occasion to engage both conservatives and liberals, or Republicans and Democrats. I ran as an independent each time. And I shared with them in various – I was invited to come, you know, share my platform and things of that nature. I shared with them how important it was to me to try to build a bridge similar to what you're saying of communication, respect, and dialogue, right? Especially when you get to your local politics, right where you live. There's a little you can control in Washington, D.C., but you have more control over your local school board and how your children get educated. You have more control over the dynamics of your city, your municipality, your county, government, and things of that nature. But you need to be informed and involved, right? And one of the ways I recommended that is voter registration is good. That's important. But you also need voter organization and voter education. That way the voters will be informed about who, what, when, where, and why, right? And you don't rely so heavily on the narrative of the media or any other particular platform, but you make a conscious decision. And that's what I've always said. I have a healthy respect for both political parties. I ran for a state senate, and there is no party other than Republican and Democrat, and I wasn't interested in running for those as much as I respect both of them. You understand what I'm saying? And that was because I wasn't beholden to a particular platform, per se. While I saw some good in both of them, my primary interest was bringing people together in a way that, irregardless of what your political affiliation is, we all live here, you know what I mean? We're citizens of the United States, respectively, in your various states and cities. It seems to me that that's the best way you can get along. It's something, guys, about how now all of a sudden people psychologically felt like, if they don't still feel like, you're supposed to take a side against something, not even for anything, but against something. Is that your interpretation, 3072? Have you got that sense that many people felt like they need to be on a side against something, particularly in the last few years?
Certainly see that. I see it. And I think that is the wrong position to take. I like to err on the right side, you know. I like to make decisions morally sound, you know, not based on popularity or what left or right or anything else. And I'm not going to share how I vote, but I try to vote right is what I try to do. And as far as one of the callers are talking about limiting what's being said and done on the internet, I think, wow, the internet, TV, and radio have just freaking went crazy over the last 10 years, even the last 15 years, you know. And with that being said, something should be censored. We have children out here that are growing up wrong because it's all they see. I think it's way too much freedom, if you ask me.
Okay.
People are being brainwashed.
Interesting. I have a question for you when you get finished, but that's an interesting
thing. I'm done. Yeah, I'm finished. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you were talking about the exposure. You're right. It's 24/7 young people, and I'm not so much concerned about young people as much as I am these chronologically grown folks who got children like mine. That allowing the internet to control them. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
social
mm-hmm.
media. I was just going to ask you, how much do you think parental control of their children's exposure to that? How much does that play in it for you? I'm just curious. I'm going to move around the time.
How much does it? How much do I? I didn't understand your question fully.
Okay. Now I was asking relative to children's exposure to all these things 24 hours a day, suggest ideas, images, right, philosophy, 24 hours a day. on their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
right.
I feel like their child has to have a cell phone with internet, right, and with all the bells and whistles. That's a whole other conversation. But I'm asking you
mm-hmm.
all, what do you think about the importance of parents controlling their children's exposure to all those things if they have to take their phone away?
Yeah, I think that it is very important. I mean,
okay.
but what I think and what somebody else think is two different things. Me personally, I think a child at 10 and 11 and 12 years old, 13, should not be having a Facebook account. I feel like
wow.
they shouldn't be just left alone with computers for all hours of the day. I think they shouldn't be allowed to watch all kind of movies or listen to all kind of songs or just be thrusted out into the streets alone. And, yeah, they need supervision. They're children.
Right.
But while
right.
having
right.
supervision or when parents have to work, God, you let your child watch TV and you look up and God knows what's playing on there.
I saw that kind of stunned me. FCC wouldn't allow it. I'm like, what in the devil?
They go to school and they're being taught that you can be gay at 8 or 9 years old. They don't know what they are.
Right.
I'm just saying.
That's a very good point. And those are things, when we start talking about moral fiber and character, those are things that ought to be left to a parent to embed.
Thank you.
Or instead
yes.
of children, not venues. Let's tap into a caller there, 6103. What do you think about the 6103? And I suspect that may be a – because I hear that being relative to some of the other things, the points that you were making. But what specifically, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you have to say. And along that point, if you notice, in America we have that whole separation of church and state where the
mm-hmm.
government's not allowed to impose a worldview
right.
or religion on all society, right? But what we have going
right.
on today is a group is allowed to do that, and that's the LGBTQ mafia, like I like to call them, where they have this special privilege in America where they get to demand everything. They cannot be challenged on anything. They can go after anybody. And now they're all given the special privilege of having their views taught in school to people's children who don't agree with them. And if you don't have the means of getting your child out of a public school, you got no option. You just got to take it. You have no other choice. And it's even worse because it's not just domestically, it's internationally too. I mean, Obama was famously had that confrontation all over Africa, especially in Kenya, where in most of Africa today, homosexuality is a crime. You can go to jail for it. And he went over there demanding that in order for these countries to continue to receive any aid money from the United States, they had to, one, decriminalize homosexuality, and number two, teach it in their school to their children, like make it part of the school curriculum. And
right.
so it's not enough for these people to, quote-unquote, what they claimed, which was they wanted tolerance and they wanted to be able to live and have equal rights like everybody else, which I think everyone agrees with. But that was never their agenda. Their agenda was full acceptance. They wanted to make this thing to where no one viewed it as an immoral lifestyle anymore. And now we're witnessing them engaging in the process of, through, in my opinion, mafia-like tactics, forcing everyone, not just here, but around the world, to accept this thing. Even though culturally,
yeah.
most societies on this planet reject homosexuality, it's mainly like a European thing to where it's really like celebrated and accepted. Like a Western concept. But in most of the world today, it's a crime. In a lot of countries, you can actually get killed for it. But in most countries in the world, in Africa, Asia, Middle East, parts of South America, it's a crime you go to jail for. And it used to be a crime in America, by the way. A lot of people don't know that. But these people, what they did was very clever. If you go back to the early 1900s, at the time, there wasn't public education in America. And the reason there was no
right.
public education in America was that the Christians were extremely skeptical of the government. And they said at the time that if we allow the government to take over and teach our children, they're going to secularize them and turn them away from God. They're going to bring in new ideas, and they're going to use it to indoctrinate children to become essentially slaves to the government. Now, what the government did at the time to appease them was they said, well, we're going to make sure we have school prayers. We're going to make sure we have Bible studies. all of that stuff. Remember, and remember, we had school prayer up until the 1960s. The reason that was there was the only way the majority of the country was going to sign off on having the government take over education was that they had to have school prayer and Bible studies. Just let everyone think about that for a second. Anyone who's Christian, I want you to really like do a little research on it. You'd be blown away how much of a national battle it was just to get public education and the war that happened between the government and the Christians of America. Now, everything that the Christians were saying was going to happen, it's literally happened. The government turned public education into a secularizing institution, which is designed not to educate your kids to empower them to be able to live successful, independent lives as adults. It's designed to indoctrinate them into a certain set of viewpoints, which advance certain agendas and ultimately will empower the government down the road. That's all it's about. And it really amazes me today that any Christian, and this is only for those who claim to really be Christian, would support the Democratic Party, in my opinion. I'm amazed by it because it's like their entire agenda is antithetical to everything you believe in, everything that the Bible says, everything that you stand for in your entire religion. Their political agenda is in complete opposition to you.
Hold one second, Colin. Let me jump in for a second. Don't lose your greater point. I take your greater point. Now, I want to speak to the education, the history of public education. Before the federal government around the late 1800s began to impose federal expectations on the state, it's the state that establishes your rights as a citizen and that are responsible for your education. What has happened, though, the federal government had provided, in the interest of creating a unified system for all Americans, the federal government began to, as you were saying, impose certain expectations on states in order for them to get federal dollars. And that's the early genesis of the Federal Department of Education, if you will. It went through several stages. But to your point, those states had the option of saying, yes, we will engage, we will accept these requirements, or we won't. But here's the bottom line, and that's economics in America. That's what's driving it. And to your greater point, one of the things that the LGBT community has done successfully is to organize themselves with a political agenda. And they've also strategically infused themselves with various groups. It's amazing to me how I was telling a young lady a couple of years ago, sweetheart, I've been black all my life, and I definitely don't need you to explain to me how much a Black Lives Matter. I can write a book on it. You understand what I'm saying? But my greater point is that what that was an influence from a group that was aligning itself with established interests in order to advance that agenda. And that's why I go back to this point. I engaged some LGBT groups as well as a candidate, and I did so intentionally. I wanted them to understand that if I were elected as a public official, the first and foremost important thing is to make sure that the laws that are germane to everybody looked out for their rights. Now, if someone is trying to get something in addition to that, that's a different story. Now, what we should do if a person decides to identify with that, they have certain constitutional rights as with everyone. It's when you go beyond that, trying to force or create a scenario where in public settings, everybody has to bend or gravitate to your thought that it becomes problematic. And I've even spoke with individuals who identify themselves as gay and lesbian who said that's not what they're interested in, but the greater interest, the economic and the social political interest, basically has hijacked even people who want to live the life as they choose and not try to force it on other people. So I think you, and just the point that you're making is but it's amazing to me how people stand down and be quiet, particularly preachers.
Well, it's because they got the 501(c). That's why they're worried about it. That's what it came down to.
I do, too. I mean, but to your point, the government says, the Lemon Law, particularly in education, says that the government will not advance a particular religious position or agenda. That's what the Lemon Law, it was a landmark case that established the Lemon Law, where there is a criteria to make sure that you're not forcing anyone to believe a certain thing. You know, Madeline O'Hare fought a case back in, I want to say about 50s or so, where her son, she didn't want her son have to say the Pledge of Allegiance or to pray. And that's when they took prayer. It was a landmark federal case where they extracted, basically made it illegal. And when they have a landmark case, people are afraid because they're afraid they're going to lose in the lower court because of the Supreme Court ruling. And didn't take prayer out because I would argue like this, you all, that if my child go and he brings prayer and faith with him, it's in the school with him. You understand what I'm saying? But in terms of the school itself advancing that, that's something that they can't do. But yeah,
it comes down to what that case tried to establish. So the point that case made clear was it's not right to have prayer and Bible study in school due to the simple fact that there may be people in the classroom or children that don't believe in Christianity, they don't believe in the Bible, and that's a fair point, right? So if that's the rules that we're operating under, then that's fair. Okay. But the point when it comes to these leftists is that they're not consistent. They have a double standard. They don't live by the same rules that they impose on all society. So when it comes to their beliefs, like in this case of the LGBTQ or some of their secular humanist beliefs, they have no problem imposing that. We see it right now on a massive scale. They're imposing it on all society. But when it came to Christians doing it, it was a problem. Because remember back in the 80s and 90s, when Christians were really involved in politics, the biggest complaint you heard from the left was, Christians should not be using politics to impose their views on society, especially when there's a lot of people that don't agree with them. That was the number one critique. I know you probably remember that was the thing they always said. They always complained about the Christian right, right? Now here we are in 2021, and we have this new religious group, these religious zealots that are zealous for their homosexuality beliefs and their crazy radical feminist ideas that are completely illogical. I mean, they're out here talking about word for science. Meanwhile, they're saying that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man and that you can't question that even though we all know it's biologically impossible. At some point, I just wonder as a society, when are we going to reject? Because I know the majority of Americans reject this stuff. You know, it's just the media and like a small percentage of the population actually agrees with this insanity that's being pushed. But because everyone's so afraid to speak out, the perception is that these people actually represent the majority when in reality they don't. It's just that people are afraid to say anything.
That's a good point. It's being pushed out there by the media as if this is mainstream when it really is. Go ahead, 72. What were you going to say you're going to respond to?
I don't know about them being so afraid. And I respect everybody's right, just like I want mine to be respected. So, again, me personally, I was born a woman, and I'm totally fine with that. But for the next person that have an issue with, you know, what God done to them, I respect that's their issue. That's their problem. However, my problem comes in when, let's say you choose to go, like you said, and have some operation to make you feel better. And, okay, that's your business. That shouldn't be forced onto me or me to be made to worship what you did and all. That's your business, remember? So why should that be inflicted on me or my child? So, with that being said, I'm not saying that homosexuality is right and all that other stuff. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm saying if that's what the next person want to do, again, just like I want my right to be respected, I can respect theirs, but don't try to force that on me or my family or whoever else, because then that's not right, and that's not fair.
Here's a good case study in what we're talking about. Illinois legislature, I believe it was a week or two ago now, just passed, the governor signed a law that required male bathrooms to have female toiletry items in there. Now, this is a very example of what you're talking about. That's because there are individuals who are female, who have female parts and have female issues that require them to have certain toiletry. But they want to be able to go in the male bathroom.
Well, go in there.
Huh?
They you should know, go in there and just, take their own female, whatever.
Well, here's the thing. There's a reason we have a male and a female bathroom for privacy, right?
Agreed.
Male privacy. Now, if we use the government to cross that line and force everybody to accept the erosion of that privacy, that's where the problem comes in, see? Because what you do is you create an opening for pedophiles to exploit young children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? And I think the point here is when the government either intentionally or as a result of something they did, they caused that becomes problematic. And a lot of citizens are unhappy with that, right? I think most people agree with you that if what you're going to, I've been married for going on 26 years come August, right? But I'm very cautious about showing public displays of affection with my wife in the public. Everybody don't need to see all that. You understand what I'm saying? Very similarly, if certain aspects of your life that you have, okay, do that at home. Get a room. We don't need to see all that. But, I'm just, there you go. Pastor Wallace, you back with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm right here.
All right.
I'm tuned in, and tell you, man, it's freedom to choose. You know, a person can choose to be wrong when they know what's right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can choose to be wrong not knowing what's right. You know, what I like about what I've learned is that a person have a right to be wrong. And if that's what they call right. But at the same time, if a simple lesson can be taught to someone that I would say was ignorant and unlearned, and I would say that was me, and then I realized and said that God created man to be a man and then a woman to be a woman. So there's no in-between when it comes down to that. And so the person would have to choose. And that's one of the toughest things about knowing what's right. Some people can know what's right and still choose to say, okay, I don't like what's right. I don't want to be a part of what's right. And just bring forth things that are bring a person's mindset into a trap. And when you get into that trap, the trap does not look like a trap. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't feel like a trap. So the person does not go see it to be one. But at the same time, I'll say this, and then I have to turn it back over to you. The enemy said he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy.
And what
the Lord himself said, but I think you may have life and have it more abundantly. Why is it that I was once born to have ignorance of something and now I became aware of it? I said, well, look what it says right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, and let Satan get the advantage over us, but we are not ignorant of his devices. So what is his device? What is it that will cause a person to want to go against what's right when they know what's right? That's the thing that I'm talking about. Is some people don't know what's right, they just don't know. But when they know what's right and decide to say, no, we're not dealing with what's right. We're dealing with what's popular. So it's amazing, man. Because this is a thing that has become very popular. And when it becomes popular, a lot of people embrace it.
But that was the point that the gentleman
embrace.
Yeah. I was just going to say that was the point that the gentleman was making. It's really not that it's popular as it is the media has went out of their way to try to make it seem like that. I notice how Twitter works largely. So somebody make a post, right? And it could be maybe 10 or 12 people totally reposting all the time, and it make it seem like there's a whole lot of conversation about it when it really isn't, right? And it give it to the mind to give the impression that everybody thinks this way, everybody's talking about it, when they're really not. It's just a handful of folks. We have 300 and I think now the last census count about 48 million people in the United States of America, right? And you would think, if you listen to certain news media, that everybody in America embraced a certain thought. Totally not the case. So, but I was curious, 6103, I'm just curious if, now I know I wouldn't fool with somebody who wasn't trying to have a realistic conversation or dialogue, but if you had the occasion to share with someone who was a part of the LGBT community and they wanted to have a discussion about maintaining reasonable boundaries and respect for one another, What would you begin that conversation with them? Or would you even engage in such a conversation? I'm just curious.
Sorry about that. My phone was breaking up. Apologies. What was the question?
That was okay. No, I was just saying that if you found that you had the occasion where you were engaging someone, LGBT, about a healthy conversation about showing mutual respect in the society that we live in, right, so that people can get along with one another at work and other public venues and what have you, where would you begin that discussion about what is appropriate and what's inappropriate, what is fair or what is reasonable?
Right. I would look at it like the actual people that, you know, regular, common, everyday people that happen to be gay, they're not the issue at all. They're just simply being used for a greater purpose. So there's a bigger agenda above them that they just happen to be there for convenient use. So the issue is you have elites within who run the government who've had it as a long-stated purpose viewpoint that, one, there's too many people on this planet, and those who are familiar with the whole eugenics movement and all the stuff that was going on during the early 1900s to the 20s and 30s knows that a lot of these elites that have, you know, some of the most richest, most powerful families came from a school of thought that there are too many people on this earth, so we have to reduce population, which, by the way, is why abortion and homosexuality is pushed as hard as it is, because there's big money behind it pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, that when it comes to the destabilizing society as a whole, they understand they have to destroy the family and they got to destroy the man. Those are two things. If you destroy that, you'll demoralize any people, and they'll easily conquer it after that. So we're in the middle of a long game strategy by those in power to want to subjugate this country, because America is like this thorn in their flesh, because we got this thing called the Constitution, which is an inconvenience to them, because the Constitution is an anti-government document. If you could boil the Constitution down to one sentence, it's what the government cannot do to you. That basically sums up the Constitution. And so the government itself and the people behind it, the power that finances it, the power that gives it, you know, all of its resources, they don't want that. They want an all-powerful government that can rule us with an iron fist and just break us at any time and just dominate us and impose whatever they want to impose on us. So to do that, they've got to change the Constitution and change the system. But the problem is you can't do it quickly. And it's not going to be easy to convince the last previous generations to do it. So they've adopted a long strategy of indoctrination through education and media, and they're working their way slowly there. And that's also why you see masculinity attacked, and why they're trying to get men to act like women, because they know the number one stumbling block to the agenda is if men are men are hard to subjugate. That's honest to God. If men are the way men are supposed to be, the way God created men to be, they're very difficult to subjugate. So the way you subjugate them is you got to weaken. You know what I'm saying? That's why if you look at the generation of young men under the age of 35 that are coming up now in America. I mean, just look at the type of character that we see in general. Not all, obviously, but in a large number of them.
Sure.
Unfortunately, it came down to living in their mama's basement playing video games.
Yeah. Those that are
people. Yeah, no, none of that. All the ambition and drive. the desire to want to be successful or want to achieve something, it's all gone. And that's not by accident. That's both a combination of spiritual and physical influences that have been put in place for that for end goal here. So I'm sorry for going on, but that's just that's
no. In fact, you're right, fact caller. There's a fear on many parts that it's politically incorrect to even talk about you being a man and you leading the family. And you understand what I'm saying? There's a fear that I might be ridiculed, or I might get punished, or I might get doxxed or extricated from a certain circle. Or you understand what I'm saying? And that's interesting, because that's a conversation that I find very interesting that's not even being had in, I know for certain, many African-American churches. I won't say all of them, but many of them.
Hey, Pastor Johnson.
Yes, sir.
I was just about to share this, what I was reminding myself of when I was saying something about it being popular. No, it's stronger than being popular. It is increasingly more popular now than ever, because they have increased in it. And it has been displayed. You know, you were talking about doing it behind closed doors. But whether it's behind a closed door out in the public, when it's popular, it's just to the point now, when you display something like that and then people start to gravitate to it, it's just as strong as a particular drug that a person tried that didn't have no intentions of being hooked on it. And suddenly once they try it, it starts to just be spread over here, over there, on the north, south, east, west. Before you know it, the style of it has been displayed, and that's what makes it become more popular than ever. And it's amazing that things happen like that in whatever area it's in. And I say this, a little kid not ago, just the other day, they told me that he offered a drug. And I'm just using for an example, just the thought of knowing that he didn't just fucking just say, well, I'm going to do a drug. He's already heard about others have OD'd off of from that stuff they're putting in it, and he's still done it anyway. And that's the thing that I'm saying about a lot of things a person would do because others are doing it, and all of a sudden, even though it's the insanity of it, it can become so popular that doing something that's called uprightness, doing what's right concerning it, be less of that going on. That's a tough situation, though, in any area of dealing with something they want to try, and then suddenly like it, they're going to try it again. it become a part of, man. And so when it's being displayed like that, what do you do? You know, you have to consider, what do I do as a choice that I have? Do I choose to continue to stand firm, or do I get with what has become very popular? And so I have to accept it now. I can't say nothing against it.
Right.
I got to make sure I just get down to the truth. And it's amazing, man. That is something that's intentional. You can't just draw that up if you don't want it to work. If you got to play, play the games, and you draw up a play, you're not drawing it up so it won't work. You have to draw the play up that's going to work, whether it's right or wrong. In some areas, if the play is drawn up, they say, well, I already know it's wrong, but we're going to make it look like it's right. Oh, man, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, let me do a little station identification. We're about to top down. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Tonight is open mic, so we're opening the floor to you. If you have a topic or something you'd like to speak on, feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. 657-383-0944. We're on with a caller from Indianapolis, a caller from Jacksonville, Florida, and right here in Nashville, our co-host, Pastor Waller, and myself. Feel free to join us here. And I want to believe that we're having a respectable dialogue about what is reasonable, particularly in relationship to individuals' desire to identify themselves as gay, lesbian, transgender, and things of that nature. And I think if I can recap the point that has been made, If that's what you choose for yourself, guess what? In the United States, you got a right to life, liberty, and happiness as you define it, right? But what you don't have a right to do is to use particularly government venues and the power and the weight of government to force others to engage or accept that. And I guess more than anything, yeah, I don't guess, I know for me, what I'm bothered now is if an adult want to do that, that's perfectly fine. But what I'm particularly bothered by is 3072, when children who have no other choice but to be in a particular environment are exposed to those things, and especially without parent consent. That's where I think the real problem is. And I think I heard you make reference to that. You want to come into that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree on that and other things as far as children are concerned. Children being mm-hmm. raised in trap houses. Children
yeah.
being
yeah.
subjected to prostitution.
Yeah.
I mean, just a number of
right.
things. Again,
right.
back to
right.
self-choices, when we have to remember children don't have choices.
Mm.
They don't have choices. Mm. They just have situations, homes that they
mm.
are born into.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it is highly important that when we are as adults making choices and where children are involved, we
mm-hmm.
need to do better. We really need to do better.
Because yeah.
the world is just getting worse and worse.
Sure. That happens a lot, 72, when even the choices I make as a parent, my children are going to have to live with it because they, like
exactly.
you said,
yeah.
they don't have no other choice. But how do you make a blanket rule for every parent? You understand what I'm saying?
You
now,
know,
there are certain.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're supposed
go ahead.
To have liberties and freedom, but it's sad to
right.
say sometimes, damn, excuse me. Do some people deserve them? Because as Pastor Wallace was speaking on people making their own choices, sometimes people don't make the right choice. Oftentimes
mm.
they don't.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
So in some instances, God, why did you give us free will, Lord? I mean, Jesus Christ. Right. You leave it up to them. We were talking about the common sense thing again with the whole
right.
COVID thing. Where is common
right.
sense when they don't know anything?
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
thing in life situation. How they can't have common when they don't know or they're
yeah.
ignorant or blind to something.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Pastor, you know we have this new, as of July 1st, this new gun law in Tennessee, right? If I could just parlay that to what she's saying. And I'm an advocate for people. I have a permit and I'm a gun owner and what have you. I think reasonably there's room for that. But I became really concerned by criminals with guns. And
yeah.
now you have in the minds are not right who feel like because
mm-hmm.
the law said I can kill them, right? And you put all of them out there in the public sphere, man. You got a problem on your hand. You understand what I'm saying? We're almost back at the Wild Wild West and. I think the intent was to make sure that law-abiding people could defend themselves, but we caused a whole new problem, it looked like to me. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's you know so amazing about when you do things intentional. If
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to bring forth harm, you got to have the right tools to do it.
Okay.
If you want to... You want to go against what's right, you got to utilize the things that will cause things to go wrong. And, you know, it may not seem like that. You know, it's just like it may seem like there's a way that seems right
mm.
in a man's own eyes, you see,
mm-hmm.
but ends up destruction, things like that. But in the midst of it all, those things are by choice. You know, it's like in order for... bring forth more harm. If you want to speed up death, put a gun in some folks' hands. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know anything other than say, I got a gun. Now I can go do this and that and other because I got a gun. And if a person is dealing with
right.
that, that's really that peaceful, not for no
right.
trouble at all, and all
mm-hmm.
you think about
mm-hmm.
is that, but the other person got a gun, now I got to be on my.
yeah.
Hey,
wow.
wait a minute. I don't know if you're afraid of that. I've been there because I got a gun, and now that's not good. That's a tough, got to live life. But that's intentional.
You know, Pastor, I really hope they revisit that thing because, and we've had one incident that I can think of where I don't know if the fella died, but on Bell Road got shot, the fella, and he stood there waiting on police. And of course, naturally, he said he was what defending himself. You know, I mean.
Well,
like
and I think that there should be more control, I'm sorry, over guns. Again, I'm not saying that for the people that are just out there trying to defend themselves, but you got to worry about the other, like you said, mentally ill people and criminal-minded ones.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing, though, 72. Here's the thing, 72. We can't legislate morality or good thinking, appropriate behavior. You follow what I'm saying?
And that's the shame. That's the shame.
It goes back to what we were saying earlier, where it's easy to assume that everybody understands what's reasonable, what's rational. But we find often, time and time again, there's scenario that's not the case. And like I say, there have been innocent people who've been victimized, right, by criminals with guns. And I do believe that they have a right to defend themselves. You understand what I'm saying? But now when you tell people that it's legal for you to carry and fly, see the thing one of the things that you learn in the gun class, that was behind the and that is you don't want to invite or entice trouble by flashing a gun. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because invariably something or somebody might challenge you or you're less
That's
likely
right.
to use the head if you feel like I got a gun, I got a right to carry it. Those are the gray areas that I'm concerned with. I have a healthy respect for the Second Amendment and the right for everybody to defend themselves, but that's one of my biggest concerns in this regard. And it kind of is related to some of what we're saying in terms of even with people with LGBT identification, you have a right as an American citizen first. Every American citizen does. But you do not have a right. And the caller was saying that everybody that's gay or lesbian or even transgender is not trying to force themselves on everybody else. But there is a movement that's trying to make that the case. That's the issue. That's the real issue, and they're trying to infuse that philosophy and ideology in many government sectors and what have you. And that's a whole nother conversation. But we those two things we were talking about where there's a fine line between my rights and then my being able to step over on your rights. That's when we start having a problem.
Yeah. That's a huge problem because, again, can't just leave it up to people to, and again, it's a shame that that's how it is, but if look around, that's how it is. You can't just assume that people have common sense or common knowledge because oftentimes they don't or they're not going to use it.
That's right. Yeah. You said something like that, let me tell you this. You take two people with a gun, one against another, and they're fused. Where is the talking points going to end up at?
Absolutely.
I mean, you both got a gun.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How you going to talk it over? You know what I mean? Which, if you didn't have the gun, it's a possibility that they can talk it over.
Right.
You know,
they don't
So being, if they don't have a gun, chances are they're going to talk it over, walk away like it or not, be upset, but still be here.
Sure.
But if they They both got a gun. It's not going to be no talk over the percentage-wise, in other words, because one don't know what the next one's going to do. And all these things, I got to defend myself.
And Pastor Waller, I agree with you. I mean, people need to realize somebody's always got to be on top. And we got to play a position. And sometimes being at the bottom don't make you the loser. It makes you the winner.
Wow.
You know, I'm perfectly okay with a 6'5" man walking up to me talking about whooping my behind. I'm going to agree with him that he could do it. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Please have mercy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight him. I mean, honestly, just, walk away from it.
Right.
But
because
like you said, if we both got a gun, what I'm going to do? I'm going to try him anyway. And I still may lose.
Yeah. And then either way,
it's just sad. It's just sad. It's terrible because that's going to be going down. Let
me add this to what you're saying, Pastor. When you pull that trigger, and roughly it takes about 3 to 5 pounds of pressure to pull the trigger, right, on a double action pistol. When you pull that trigger, the bullet don't know how to discriminate from who it should hit. It's going to go in the direction of what? The target that's in front of
it.
Right? Now, and watch this. It's recommended for people that go to gun class that they get certain types of bullets that won't pierce a human and go to another human that is not the intended target. But that just goes, again, to speak to if you just allow everybody to go and buy a gun and carry it, you're going to have to deal with the fact that some of them really don't have the temperament or the mindset to responsibly do that.
Yeah.
And that's where the real problem comes.
At the heat of the moment, the talk one against another with a gun that has not even been drawn yet, they haven't pulled it out, but the heat of the conversation, you know what I mean? It's like bringing forth to reaching for the gun next.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the one know that the law has permitted that people can have a gun, and it's just not going to be the one who go to the gun range or to get a gun. Like, the guns are popular. They're going to be just like, oh, yeah, it's really popular now. Let's go to another. See this gun? I'm showing you my gun. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to have to let it be seen or do you have to have it tucked in. It's just a sad
case, you can just flash it and carry. You can just flash it and carry.
That's crazy.
Think about that, man. I mean, that's sad. But anyway, again,
and then guess what? When people start getting shot because somebody flashing and carrying it coming into a gas station, and you don't know if they're coming to rob you. You know, it creates too much room for trouble.
it's a sad situation right there. But it's intentional.
Well,
believe me, if you can speed up death, you got to have the right things to do it with. And that's just, just one of the avenues, that's been presented.
I tell y'all, sometime I wish I could move to Mars or Jupiter or somewhere.
Wait a minute.
Because planet Earth is getting crazy.
You'd be crying down there, 72, if you did.
Oh, my God.
But now, having said that, there is a strike of balance here, guys. There is it all is not lost. Because I think,
yes, you got a point, though. I mean, like you'd be more peaceful there than you would around here.
You know what's going to happen, Pastor? Then everybody else going to start trying to follow 72, and they're going to take the drum of the mom.
bringing the guns and bringing the,
And then Bob's going to be like, y'all go back to Earth, please. Y'all don't come up here with all that.
Fair as it say, that, huh?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Pastor. Some people think they're going to be able to die and go to heaven and take their drummer to heaven.
Yeah.
We ain't going to have it. We ain't going to have it up here now.
They already selling the ideas that everybody that dies automatically going.
Well,
anybody that dies said that they are going to heaven. And, we're not the judge to think, to say, oh, well, this person going to hell or this person.
you know, but I don't know. So I question that even.
So you don't think Johnny Taylor was right when he sang about Soul Heaven then? 72?
About what?
You don't think he's telling the truth when he sang the song about Soul Heaven? Yeah, Marvin and you understand, Biggie and everybody. Aretha, everybody's on the other.
I could see them up there, but some of these other demons that's done left the earth, I don't know.
Wait. How you pick and choose right there? You go pick and choose.
Ooh, me. I don't know,
look fast,
bro.
Look fast. She'll around and keep me out if she get mad at me. You know what I mean? You know?
Hey, man, it's amazing, man. It's amazing how you know, people can say that on 37-2. They automatically put a person, you know, in heaven real quick. And
yeah.
And then they'll say that they're not judging. Yes, you are judging. You just put there.
You know, and I was having a conversation with somebody. We were talking about this very thing. And he said, well, you know, he believed as long as you repent before you die, you know, that's what the Bible said, that you'll be accepted. Mm-hmm. But I reminded him, I mean, the Bible also says that God is fair and he's just and he's loving.
Yes, he is.
So that means just because he accepts you don't mean you're not, I mean, it's still possible you may be down in hell with some gasoline underwear on. I mean, you may have to burn for a spell or two. And then, you got to pay for, you know, that's my thought.
72, I'm glad you won't be standing at the pearly gates. Well, I'd be in trouble, man.
What? No, I don't think you would be in trouble.
Nobody's
perfect, but some of these people try to not only manipulate the system, but they try to manipulate God, too.
Woo! Watch out, girl. Watch out, man. They're going to make a fool out of God.
Now, and that's not, again, back again to right and wrong. That ain't cool. That ain't right.
So, Pastor, you know what I've learned in my 25 plus years of pastoring, Pastor Wallace? Everybody don't want to be saved. Everybody don't want to live right. I've learned that.
That's been a costly lesson. If you see what's going on, it's righteous. People are doing and practicing righteousness, and you say, no, we got to have some wrong going on here. No, I don't want to do right. And, you know, that attitude and that particular way of life is a way of life. And, you know, you're going to do some things that, I'm big on the trap. I mean, I know the trap is real. I can't deny that now. I mean, you take innocent people, and all of a sudden they're in a trap that was not a plan of their own to get in the trap, and then once they try to get out, it's just not easy to get out. You know, that's something of an experience, though. If you don't have that experience, you cannot say it by way of saying, I have that experience. But when you have that experience, and then you realize they finally get out, like, that was a trap for real. It's like, two people like that, that's what I had to come up with. Well, I can't remember saying, it worked on me. The show got me. And I had to get the recipe out of it. I couldn't get out of the trap by myself. I would have got out a long time ago. I believe, man, just me saying it, I believe I would have got out a long time ago had I known how to do it. I just didn't know how to do it. Now, I knew how to go into the trap, but here's the thing. I didn't know it was a trap. You see? And that's how powerful the trap is. It's just terrible. But if you're going to do harm to some people, you have to entrap them. And that's just the way it is. It's been done. It's happening now.
Wow.
And if we don't wake up to it, it's going to continue. And I just know that there's hope. One day, I'm going to say this to you. Check this out, 37-2. When I found out what the scripture said one day, and that's what made me believe, and that's why I keep hope alive when it comes down to it. Say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing impossible, God. Then there's got to be a way to escape from all of that. It's just going to take
one decisive move, you know, to have a lot of people to follow that pattern. And suddenly, you know, it's like, okay, we're free now. We really are free. And matter of fact, we don't need no gun right about now. Well, we're just going around the corner, around here over the, you know, I'm going to use it for an example. We're going around the corner, we're going to meet together, we're going to do some things. So a gun is not even necessary. So that way, if somebody gets a feud, it's going to be a little talking it over and working things out, and everything's cool. But if you don't have that going on, and as I said to you earlier, two people with a gun, fusion, something is bound to go down. And it's not going to be just talking. Any man, it may be just talking and working stuff out. That would be great if that was like constantly. But do you think that's going to be that way if they both have guns and they're here at the moment? Whether somebody pulled out in front of somebody stepped on somebody's foot, and they looked at them, you know, what you looking at? I don't know what it is. Just all those things occur that bring forth, you know what I mean, a good play. Man, that's not
okay. That's terrible. That's interesting. We're going to pray, Pastor. We're going to pray that it get better. We're going to pray it get better.
Yeah.
Well, listen, guys, we have an abbreviated show tonight. So this is a good place for us to wrap up with final thoughts, Pastor, and have you close us out here. You've been listening to Talk Straight. It's been open mic. It's been open mic. Great conversation. And I just want to say that in reference to people's choices, particularly those who may identify with the LGBT concept, one of the things that the Constitution allows you to do is to do that. There's no law against it. I'm not aware of one anyway. There's no law against it. And as long as people are being reasonable and respectful of others, we shouldn't have any problem getting along with one another at all. At all. So, but with that being said, let me, Pastor, let's let 3072 give a final thought here, and then we'll have you close us out here.
All right.
I was just going to say, let's just all, again, try to be mindful of our choices and not just how they affect us, but the people around us.
Great point. Great point.
Very much. Great point. So, great.
Yeah. You know, 72, with authority comes responsibility, doesn't it? With power comes responsibility.
Yes.
Much is given, much is required. So. Great point. Well said. Well said. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, Pastor Lee, you're the flow to you there, big brother.
Amen. We thank God for everyone who had a chance to have a unique conversation that we was assembled together tonight with. And for those who were just listening, 3072 made it known about the choices. I like to put emphasis on that because that's exactly what's going on. He says, choose you this day who you will serve. And then once we learn that concept and then put him first, if we choose to put him first, like it says in the book of Matthew, I like what it says in chapter 6, verse 33, when it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added. Amen.
Yes.
And so if we do it like that, man, I mean, things will be a lot better by choice. So choose to just line up with him first, and I think that's what's going to make everything work itself out. And keep praying. Amen. Yeah, Becky, you on that note.
All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to look forward to our next episode on this coming Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. For Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Baffin. Pastor Ricky Waller, author of Still High and The Flip Side, and the chief executive for New Way Outreach Ministry right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Our co-host, our friend out of Jacksonville, Florida, has joined us, 3072. We'll see you guys on Thursday for another episode of Talk Straight. Until then, be blessed.
Praise the Lord. Start good things. All the time. And all the time, God.